wave them, wave them, wave them. Amen. I'm glad you got the Bible. Boy, this morning, wasn't it good? Good crowd this morning. More like normal all the time. Now, you people hadn't got out here, y'all. Come on out. More folks are coming out all the time. The numbers are down. Amen. This COVID thing's down a little bit. We thank God for that. We're protecting ourselves, taking care of everybody. Everything going real good. Amen. And I want to encourage you. Come, go to Numbers 25. And Dr. Eastep's going to come and read that chapter. Amen, doctor.
Oh, boy. Numbers 25. All I can say is buckle your seatbelt because this story's a doozy. Amen. And if you're watching by way of live stream, make sure that you share this service, please. All right, Numbers 25. The Bible says this, "And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God, and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Now the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a prince of a chief house among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianitish woman that was slain was Cosby, the daughter of Zur. He was head over a people and of a chief house in Midian. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, vex the Midianites and smite them, for they vex you with their wiles, wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor and in the matter of Cosby, the daughter of a prince of Midian, their sister, which was slain in the day of the plague for Peor's sake.
Hallelujah. You said, I think I'm going home. Live stream people, share this. It's going to be hot and heavy. Somebody help me preach. We need hot and heavy in these days. Yeah, we do. That's a wild story just to hear you read it, amen? I've been saying, how many's never heard a sermon on this subject? Come on, be honest. Most of you haven't. And those that have, you forgot, didn't you? Let me give you a brief history. Then I'm going to do some preaching. In Numbers chapter 22, just three chapters back, Israel was encamped in the camp of Moab. The Moabites knew that they weren't strong enough to defeat Israel. So they hooked up with the Midianites. And neither the Midianites nor the Moabites could defeat the army of Israel. I want you to know, when God's got an army, they cannot be defeated. Somebody help me preach. I know right now we're under the gun. I know right now that we're kind of slime to this world. I know we got a president, a vice president, that doesn't really care much for us. But I want all y'all to know something. They may think they can put us down, but we're an army. We're God's army. We're God's people. We're God's beloved. Somebody help me. Amen. So here's what happened. Balak knew there wasn't no way that he could defeat that army. So he had to figure a way to defeat them. So he called a man, a preacher, named Balaam. And by the way, there's still some Balaams out there. Guys that are for sale. I'm not for sale. The King James Bible I preach is not for sale. The Independent Baptist Church I preach is not for sale. Your family's not for sale. Your friends are not for sale. I'm not going to sell out for a few nickels and a few numbers. I'm going to stay for God. Here's what happened. They brought him up and sent some people out to him, said, "We're going to give you some money. We're going to give you some prestige. But here's what you got to do. You got to curse Israel." Now, here's what he said. He had some sense. He said, "Well, I got to pray about it. And I got to go to God and ask him." Now, what a dumb prayer. "God, would you allow me to curse your people?" How many believe that's a dumb prayer? And God told him, "No, you can't do that. You're not going to do that." So Balaam told him, "So I can't curse God's people because God told me no." Hello. But I want you to know, Balak was not a person that would take no for an answer. You know, ain't that the way the world is? Yep. And the devil is? Yep. If he can't try to get you one way, he'll try to get you another way. Now here's what happened. He said, "Well, let's send some guys in my ranks that has a little bit more prestige, and let's send a little bit more money. And let's tell him to curse Israel." Well, he went back to God. And God said, "Okay, this time I'll let you go, but you just need to tell him that you can't curse me." So here's what happened. Y'all still with me? This is an awesome story. I'm not preaching from this story, but it's a good one to preach on. So here he goes on his donkey. Hello? He's on a donkey on his way to talk to Balaam. And the angel of the Lord, right in the middle of the road, stuck up a sword. Balaam, Chad, I don't think, he didn't see him. But the donkey did. Isn't it something when a donkey got more sense than a preacher? Somebody help me preach. I feel some preaching come on this old man tonight. And that donkey, here's what the donkey did. I'm not exaggerating. The donkey said, "I ain't going that way." He hit the field. And when he hit the field, Balaam smoked the donkey. Isn't that how people are when they don't like to hear the message? They always smite the donkey. So here's what God done. The angel, he put walls up. You got the story? And that donkey got so nervous, it went up against the wall and crushed the preacher's foot. I'm preaching. You say, I ain't never heard this story before. It's wild. Oh, yeah, it's wild. What Balaam do? He smites the donkey again. Then the donkey gets back on the road, and here he goes. And there's the angel with the sword, and Balaam finally sees him. And what the donkey does? He hits his knees. Isn't it awful when a donkey will get on its knees, but God's man wouldn't get on his knees? Ladies and gentlemen, we need some people to raise up for God. So he could not. You say, what's that got to do with chapter 25? I'm going there. Just give me time. So Balaam knew he couldn't curse him. So what he done, he went up and he said to them, now here's what you're going to have to do. Hello? If you want them, get your women to yoke up with them and intermingle with them, and you'll get them. Oh, boy. By the way, the Bible still says not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You ought to marry the right person. Hey, you people that's church people, you do not date lost people. And I'll give you advice. Don't even date a non-Baptist. You said, is that in the Bible? It's in mythology, and it's good enough for me. By the way, friend, you don't need anybody to pull you down. And isn't it something that the devil and Balak, hey, they wanted to use a woman. Somebody help me preach. See, Israel had no business now. We're going up to chapter 25. And here's what's happened, Brother Jeff. They've done intermingled now. They've done the Midianites and the Moabites. Done intermingled now. They went up to Shittim and they need not be there. And they were engaged in immorality. How many of y'all agree with me? This is one of the most immoral times we've ever lived in. I will be honest with you, I don't even like to watch commercials anymore. I mean, they promote an agenda. How many of y'all know they promote an agenda? I'm getting sick of watching men kiss men. I'm getting sick of watching women kiss women in a commercial. Can't even watch a commercial. Can't. They have toothpaste commercials and have them perverts on there.
That's good preaching.
You know what God tells them? He said, I want you to destroy his people. They had illegitimate relationship. And as a man rose up, his name was Phinehas. I'm interested in him. He was a daddy. He was the son of Eliezer. He was the grandson of Aaron the priest. And I want you to know something. I believe Phinehas was taught right. How many believe that we need to get back into our homes and back in our churches and teach our kids Christian values? I believe that Phinehas was taught Christian values. And you know what happened? A guy named Zimrah, an Israelite, came, you know, it makes me mad when people come around the house of God and just try to tempt God. Boy, it's quiet in here now. And here comes Zimrah with Cosby, his midnight girlfriend, walking right through the camp, flaunting their sin. Somebody help me preach. You say, are you going anywhere? Yes, I am. I'm just old and slow. Here's what Phinehas said. I'm going to put an end to this. By the way, if you're blood washed and you love God and you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit to the day of redemption, it is time for you to take a stand for God. Amen. I look at 2021, I see a lot of Zimbras and I see a lot of Cosbys. Think of it. It's okay to seduce the child of God and bring him into idolatry and whoredom. I started to preach on where is Phineas, but I am going to preach on a man that had zeal for his God. And here's what he done. He got up, got his javelin, I'll give you that story on in a minute, and found them two lovers together and took that javelin, threw it right through Zimra and right through the belly of Cosby. Boy, it is quiet in here now. You know what we need? We need some homes with some Phineases in there that will stamp out foolishness. We need some Baptist preachers instead of yoking up with foolishness and yoking up with ignorance and yoking up with dumb people. We need some Baptist preachers that have enough spine to be a Phineas. Oh, I'm going somewhere, son. I'm just now getting started. Let me give you three things. I'm done. Here's what God said about him. Not he said about him. I get sick and tired of hearing what people say about themselves and brag on themselves. By the way, you don't need to do that if God's bragging on you. You don't need to be thinking you're the best member in the church. You're probably not. And brag on yourself. Now, I'll tell you what God told him. He said, here's what God said about him. Down there about verse 13. He had zeal for his God. You know what I see right now? I see a bunch of church people and a bunch of religious people that have done lost their zeal for God. And they have lost their intent to fight for the cause of Christ, and they have lost the ability to take a stand anymore because they are afraid what the world might say, or one church member might say, or a neighbor might say. Ladies and gentlemen, where is the Phineas? Where are the people that have a zeal for their God? Let me give you three things. Look at verse 6 and 7. Lord, have mercy. I was looking for my handkerchief. You took that away too, didn't you? Huh? Now here's what was happening. The people were, in verse 6 and 7, 5, 6 and 7, they were crying and they're weeping because God done went out and killed 24,000 people. Hello? You don't think God can bring judgment? You don't think God can bring America down? You don't think God can bring the liberal churches down? Those that are absolutely with their hands defiant toward God, don't you think God can bring them down? First of all, I see a disobedient action. They done interyoked, married the wrong people. And here comes that dude with his little girlfriend, midnight girlfriend. Come on, help me preach. We're in America now. We're in one of the most indecent, ungodly society ever. And God will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if he don't destroy us. He had a defiant attitude. I tell you what. I'm talking about, it's pretty defiant. It'd be pretty defiant for some whoremonger everybody knew come walking in the church, straddling with some, you know what. I won't say what it is, but we got some kids here. Hello. And just flaunt their sins. Come on now. Oh, we're told not to say anything. We need to be passive. I'm not too passive. And I'll preach a little bit about that in a moment. You hear me? Now, I want you to know something. What would y'all do if some man come in there, I ain't going to say I wouldn't let a man come in there with a dress, but he ain't going in to the women's bathroom. And I'm going to probably change my message. And I'm not going to condone his sin. He said, but Wolfie's a pretty good guy. Then he's going to take some hot preaching. I'm not going to run my church people off and leave him around. What would you see if this preacher started compromising with that bunch of hidden idiots? I ain't going to do it. Where's the finishes anyway? Not only that, he disappointed the Almighty. God said, okay, you're going to allow that stuff going on. I'm going to bring my wrath. And God killed 24,000 people with the plague. Now I see a devastating effect. The plague was sweeping all over. Here's what the Bible said. Now look at that verse. Look at this. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought up his brother, the Midianite woman, in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son, listen to this word, of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, look, tell me what them two words say. Saw it. Do you see it? Do you see what's going on in your home? Do you see the immorality in your life? Do you see the immorality in America? Do you see the immorality in the local churches? You can't even preach on social drinking anymore because they'll get mad at you. But I don't give a flip if they do. I'll tell you what the average Christian is. They wandering around in Smurf world. I'll tell you what we need. We need some people to police people like Phinehas. Amen. By the way, what your daughter wears and your son wears and your wife wears is up to you to fix it, sir. It ain't up to the preacher to fix how your wife looks. Amen. Yes, sir. You say you're getting a little extreme. That's not extreme. We don't want people dressing like floozies. Amen. They're dressing for some other man instead of their man. Come on. Come on, preacher. I tell you what, we need a Phinehas. Just throw a dagger for them. Now, don't literally do that, Lois. Hello. Yes, sir. Now, number two. Y'all all right? This in the Bible. You said, well, I wish you wouldn't preach the Bible. I'm preaching it anyhow. Now I want to show you number two, a rejection of passiveness. Here's where we're at. Well, I know it's wrong, but I ain't going to say nothing. I'm not going to mess in somebody's business. Well, I want y'all to know I'll mess in your business if you're doing something wrong. I'm messing your business if you've got an alternate lifestyle and I know about it. I'm messing up your business if I know you're drinking alcohol. I'm messing your business if I know you're watching pornography. I'll mess in your business if you're living like a devil. Amen. See, the prevailing thing today is to be passive. Oh. Oh, I heard somebody tell me this. I don't even know. I wanted to choke them when I heard it. They said, I wish you'd be more like Joe Osteen.
Oh, my goodness. Lord have mercy.
So what I am doing right now, I'm going to get Josh. Stand up, Josh. And I'm going to get him to make me a recording of me. Not to say how sweet you are. Go, you're, but Alan, you can sit down now, son. A recording of me. You're going to hell if you don't get right. Hello. These nutheads, he's putting out a box with some sweet little words so you can play during the day so you'll be different. And there ain't nobody different. He don't even believe in sin. He wouldn't preach on hell if it was burning his rear end off. Hello! I finally woke up, two of you. You ought to thank God some of you got daddies that are Phoenixes. I noticed this. He had initiative to react. You know what he was doing, Sean? When this guy come in showing his business, he was praying and weeping. He was weeping and praying. But I'll tell you what he done. He quit his weeping, and he quit his praying, and he got his javelin. Somebody help me preach. Then I see intensity of his resolve. Yeah, boy, he got prepared, and he got his javelin. Now, I want to say something to you. I will not confront sin without my sword. Somebody help me preach. We had a Pharaoh performance. He killed both of them. Could you imagine it? Dear God, some of y'all can't take it because you're kind of on this, I want my preacher to be passive and a little sweetheart. I want him to be a little darling. Sorry, Jack. The darling stage has been out of me for years. No, we need to call sin, sin. No, we need to keep on preaching. We need to tell this America, if I ever gonna have hope, it's in Jesus. He had a thorough performance and killed them both. The impact of his response. Look at this. I want y'all to see it. Look at the impact. Look at it, verse 7 or 8. Somebody help me here. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them, the man of Israel and the woman, through her belly. Now notice. And the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. I want you to know something. You want to end the plague? You want to end the plague? We need some Phineas to say, I'm going to stand in my home. We need a Phineas to say, and I ain't ruling you women out. Phineas, it's to take a stand with her children. Somebody help me preach. Yes. You know what we do? You want to make a difference? Won't you have a zeal for God? Can we count on you to be here every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Can we count on you to give your tithe? Can we count on you to be separated? Can we count on you that you're not going to embarrass God with social drinking or putting a needle in your arm or having a box of porno that you watch every day? God, help us. Amen. Where is Phineas? I know what some of y'all are thinking. What lit him up today? God. Number 3, and I'm done. Verse 10 and 11. Y'all still with me? The reward for his production. The reward. How many of you believe God is a great rewarder? Amen. You know, when I was a young preacher, like Chad and these boys, I guess when I was young, people come up to me and they say, good preaching. I did have a few people say good preaching about this morning. I don't know about tonight. It may not be that way. But see, it used to be, I had people when I was younger, because I guess they wanted to encourage me because I'm younger. Man, you preach good. I don't have that much anymore. It's not because I ain't preaching good. It's just because you think I ought to be that way all the time. And I'm trying to be that way all the time. Hello? Come on now. I don't have to have a hip hip array to get me to shuck the corn. I don't have to have a pat on the back to say, you're doing good, boy. I'm going to do it anyhow. But look at it. By the way, the same people that will applaud you will stick you in the back if you ever say something they don't like. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're right. Help me preach right there. His commendation from God. Hey, Rich, how would you like God to say this about you? This is awesome. God said it. Look at it. That he had zeal for his God. Not everybody else said it. God said it. I want you to know something. See, I'm at peace with myself. I'm not going to worry if nobody's pleased with me. As long as he's pleased with me. Woo! See, what he done, he pleased the Lord. He prevented further loss. We're losing a lot. We're losing a lot, Chad. Losing a lot of homes. Losing a lot of our young people. We're losing a lot. And I know we're going to lose some people. But I'm going to do everything I can to prevent loss. To do everything. I want to be a Phineas and try to. I know this country's on its way out. And I'm on my way up. But I want to do everything I can to prevent loss. Somebody help me preach. And then he had a passionate life. Boy, I'll tell you what. Y'all looking at a man who's almost, I'm 6 or 7 months from 70. And I'm as motivated as I was when I came here at 27. I want y'all to know that. Now, I may have a stroke tomorrow and it's over. But right now, buddy, I'm with it. I just am. I got a passionate life. I haven't lost it. You say, why ain't you lost it? Because I refuse to lose it. The only way I lose it is if I quit praying, keep reading the Bible, quit studying, quit working, quit having a vision. I'd lose it then. I had a man the other day, 67-year-old man, preacher. Listen to me on the internet. He said, you blow my mind. You're 2 years older than me, and you ain't lost your spunk. You ain't lost your passion. You still want to build a church. And I'm dumb enough to message him back. I said, don't you? And he just told me, he said, oh, I kind of lost it. He said, I'm getting ready to retire. I mean, I may have to retire if I have a heart attack or a stroke or something like that. And a heart attack probably won't take me out. A stroke might. But I ain't going nowhere. Let your heart not be troubled. Ain't no use you wishing me away from here. It won't be very long I'll be going. It's just nature's taking its course. But before I go, I'm going to stay as passionate and fired up as I can. Amen. Amen. Then look at verse 12. I got to hurry. God made a covenant with him. He gave him peace. You know, it's real good to have peace. To be able to lay down at night and say, I know God's pleased with me. I know he loves me. I know he ain't mad at me. Whoop! And you know what else God done for him? Man, he gave him an everlasting priesthood. Now, I want you to know something. Explain that one, boy. Everlasting priesthood? Is that wild or not? When you figure all that out, will you please come back and tell me what that means? God made a covenant with him and said, I'll give him. Didn't he not say it? Give him everlasting priesthood? That's almost too deep for me. Then God said, not only am I going to do that, I'm going to bless your kids. You know what? Your kids will be blessed if you're blessed. You want your kids blessed? He'll bless your posterity. You said that ain't in there. It ain't. Look at verse 13. And he shall have it, and his seed after, and his seed after him, at peace. Even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood. I still can't get that in my head. Jeff, won't y'all study that out and tell me what that means? Because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. He said, I'm going to bless his kingdom. I believe my kids are blessed because of me. And your kids can be blessed. I'm officially done with this message, ladies and gentlemen. I'm done. But I want to ask you, I wonder how many in this room would crawl up on this altar and say, I'd like to make a difference for this generation. I'd like to make a difference. And I want to have zeal for my God. And I want his peace. And I want his priesthood. And I want my posterity. So I wonder how many Christians, you're tired of seeing your country go down the tube. You're tired to see Christianity go down the tube. How about us be that one, that Phineas, that person that wants to make a difference from God? That's good, Seth. Come on, you don't have to wait on me. People already ought to be getting up. Stand with me. I wonder how many of you would like to have a zeal for God. And you want to count and you want to help and not have any further loss. Our Father, thank you for this place tonight. Lord, touch the invitation. Help people gather around here and pray that the plague will be stayed from this country. I know, God, there are going to be judgment. Please help us. In Jesus' name, amen. You come.